Morning. I didn't know what to think. I came in here and everybody was sitting down. I realized I got sidetracked out there and forgot the time. Well, we're going to continue in our series on the hard sayings of Jesus. And this week we'll be in John chapter 12, 35 through 40, or 50. Let me give you a little background real quick. Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. You remember the sister sent word to him and said, the man you love is sick. And Jesus wasn't that far away, but said he stayed two more days where he was. And by the time he got there, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Jesus raised him from the dead. Before the Passover, Mary and Martha and Lazarus gave him a dinner at their house. And said large crowds, when they found out he was there, they came to see not only Jesus, but Lazarus. Well, then this large crowd went to Jerusalem and told them what had happened. And now it's just before the Passover, and Jesus comes riding into Jerusalem on a donkey to fulfill Zechariah 9. This says, fear not, daughter of Zion, your king comes to you riding on a colt. And it said the people that had heard about this miracle and those that had seen it, that were there and saw Lazarus come out of the grave, they went out to meet Jesus with palm branches. And they waved the branches in the air. This was a commemoration of the Maccabean revolt. So that makes the leaders a little bit nervous. And they shout, Hoshiana, which means God save us. And they said, blessed is the King of Israel. So they're hailing Jesus as their king. And the Pharisees are a little bit nervous because the Romans know that on Passover feast especially, there's a real spirit of patriotism breaks out, and that's when the riots happen and the rebellions. So they always doubled and tripled the garrison. So they're ready for anything. The leaders are nervous. In fact, one of the statements they make is, do you see how we're not getting anything accomplished? The whole world's going after this guy. And Jesus has been teaching in the temple and talking to them. And where we come into today, Jesus has informed the group that he was getting ready to go to the cross. And he knew a lot of them didn't believe in him. And he said, when you've lifted the Son of Man up, you'll know I'm the one I claim to be. And the people are a little bit confused. They said, now we read in the law that the Christ lives forever. So who's this Son of Man you're talking about? They thought they had the Bible figured out. And they didn't understand that God would send his Son, the Messiah, to die for their sins. They thought Jesus would come into Jerusalem. They declared him king. He would set up on the throne of David. The Romans would be driven out, defeated, and they'd have this kingdom of God on earth. And Jesus blows their plans away when he says, I'm going to be lifted up. And they understood by that he was talking about being nailed to a Roman cross, and they're a little disappointed with this answer. And it said that some of them did believe in him. But some of them were a little bit doubtful, and they was wondering who he is. And this is where we come in on this conversation this morning. In John 12, verse 35, then Jesus told them, you're going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, before darkness overtakes you. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he is going. Put your trust in the light while you have it, so that you may become sons of light. When he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them. Even after Jesus had done all these miraculous signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet, Lord, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this reason they could not believe, because as Isaiah says elsewhere, he has blinded their eyes and deadened their hearts so that they can neither see with their eyes nor understand with their hearts nor turn, and I would heal them. Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. Yet at the same time, many even among the leaders believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith, for fear they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved praise from men more than praise from God. Then Jesus cried out, When a man believes in me, he does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. When he looks at me, he sees the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. As for the person who hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come into the world to judge the world, but to save it. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. That very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day. For I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me has commanded me what to say and how to say it. I know that His command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me. Here again, Jesus is talking to a people who thought they had the Word figured out. Now they're a little confused because of some of His statements. And Jesus is going to clarify exactly what He is saying and what He's requiring. Again, He's talking about coming to Him. The light Jesus is speaking about is very plain in this statement. And in John chapter 8, Jesus says very plainly, when Jesus spoke again to the people, He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of light. And the Pharisees accused Him of bearing witness to Himself, so they said, your witness isn't true. In other words, you're just claiming to be the light of the world. How do we know that's true? And now Jesus, speaking to this crowd, He says, you need to put your faith in the light. You need to put your trust in the light. And they know from His previous sermon, He's referring to Himself. Now, these people believed they were the light to the world because they had the law of Moses. Paul talks about that. He said, you believe that you're God's people. You believe that you're a light in the darkness for the world that doesn't know God. But he said, by breaking the law, you dishonor God. And Jesus here, speaking to them, He has overridden the law, so to speak, in their mind. He's saying, I'm the light. I'm the one you need to put your trust in. Now, their trust was in the law of Moses. And they thought, as long as we keep it to the best we can, we're God's people and we're okay. And Jesus has just thrown a wrench in their works and said, no, I'm the light. I'm the true light. It's not the law of Moses, it's me. And you have to put your faith and your trust in me. He says, if you'll do this, you won't walk in the dark. The statement He makes where He said, you're just going to have the light a little while longer. They were seeing God's light manifested in the person of Jesus Christ. He knew He was going to the cross. He knew that He would be crucified, raised again, and then a short time later would ascend back to heaven, and they wouldn't see Him anymore. That's what He meant by that. Now, the church has the light through the person of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, and we're commanded now to be lights. Jesus said that to His church. He said, you're the light of the world. And He said, you don't light a candle and put it under a basket. You put it on the basket so it lights up the whole house. And Jesus has preached the Word. He said, everything the Father told me is what I've told you. I haven't said anything He didn't tell me to say. I haven't done anything He didn't tell me to do. As God's representative, He is light. And He's saying to this people, now you put your faith in me. We talked before at the beginning of this session where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You can't come to God except through me. Last week we talked about where Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. If you want to live, you have to take me in as your food. I am your life, not part of it. I am your source of life. Today, He's saying to these people, I am your source of light. And the implication is, if you don't come to me, you're in the dark. And you know, this is a dark world we live in. It's a wicked world we live in, and it's full of darkness. And by that, I mean that God told the prophet Isaiah, I have this light to offer you. And He said, if you'll walk in my light, you won't stumble. But He said, those who light their own fires and go by the the light of their own fires. He said, this is what you'll inherit from me. You'll lie down in torment. That's pretty shaken. That's pretty bold and up front. God says, if you want to walk in your light, you're actually in the dark. I'm the only one that has the true light. And he said, if you want to follow your light, in other words, if you want to do what you think is right, you want to do what you think is going to get you to heaven, God said, this is what I promise you as an inheritance. You'll lie down in torment. You're not going to make it. You won't make it by keeping the law. You won't make it by trying to keep the Beatitudes. You won't make it by reading your Bible and praying. You won't make it into heaven by coming to church. You will only make it into the kingdom of heaven by accepting Jesus Christ and His sacrifice for you on the cross. You see, Jesus here is not talking about just, you just have to believe that I am the light. In believing that I'm the light, you follow me and no one else. You look to me for truth. You look to me for light in the darkness. I hate the things I see on the news. They grieve me and the attitudes. But I've had the Holy Spirit rebuke me sometimes for my attitude and say, what do you expect? They're in the dark. Why do you expect them to live like children of the light? They don't have a light. Satan has so convinced man that he is a god. There are churches that teach the truth is within you. The light's in you. You need to look no farther than your own heart, no farther than your own self to know the way. But my Bible says the heart of man is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. I will accept that testimony more than I will the world's. I don't trust me. I went my way for a long time and it about killed me. And if I'd have died in that, I'd have died separate from Christ and I'd have been lost. And these people, while they are God's covenant people, they are lost. The new covenant is about to be instituted. And Jesus is saying, here, there's been a change, people. You don't put your faith in the law. You put your faith in me. You understand that what I tell you is the truth because the Father told me to say it. And I'm not going to steer you wrong. And you don't trust to yourselves to understand what's light and darkness. You look to me because I am the light. And I will guide you in the light. To walk in the light, the Amplified, Jesus says, walk in this light, trust in this light. The Amplified Bible says, keep on living by it. It's not a one-time invitation. Very often in the preaching of the Word, and even in the teaching of the Word, we ministers can fail to help people to understand that coming to Christ is the very beginning of your walk. It's not the end. Sometimes we say it like it's the end. Well, you said the sinner's prayer, and I baptized you personally, so I know you're going to heaven. Just do the best you can. We don't disciple. We don't train. We don't encourage him to stay in the Word and to stay in prayer. I hope none of you ever go home and say, well, Rick said it, and I believe it. I hope you'll go home and say, I'm going to dig in the Word and see if what Rick was saying was true or not. Because if it's not true, don't listen to me. And Jesus is bearing such a powerful witness before these men and women, they have to make a decision. You're the light? I thought it was God's Word. You're looking at Him. He's standing right there in front of you, in the flesh, the Word of God speaking to you. He promises them that if they will believe in Him and trust in Him as the light, that they might become the sons of light. What a promise. In the Gospel of John, he writes, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. No one can assume to be God's child. It is the act of God and God himself that makes you a child. You're his creation. That bothers me when I hear learned preachers stand up and say, now, we're all God's children, including everybody, unbelievers and believers alike. No, we're not. If we are all God's children, why does the Bible say one thing that happens at salvation is adoption? The legal term, God adopts us as His kids. We're His creation. All of us are His creation. Does He love all of us? Yes. Is He concerned about our spiritual well-being? Yes. He sent Christ to die in our place. He's very concerned about your spiritual well-being, but you can't call Him Father until you've come to Him through Jesus Christ and He gives you the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of adoption. Then you may call Him Father, and He will call you My child. You can't just assume that. Some people assume because they keep certain rules, that makes them God's kids. Well, you know, I don't do what my neighbor does. I don't smoke, drink, or chew and run with them that do. I don't cuss. I don't do this. I'm in church every time the door is open. I believe in Jesus. It said many of these people believed in Jesus. And you see Jesus encouraging them not to just be settled with this belief, but to live it. Keep on living it. Keep on coming to me as the light. When you're in doubt, don't go your own way. Come to me. You know, it'd save us a lot of trouble, Christians, if we'd learn to do that in our lives. Instead of running away from God when we're in trouble, run right to Him. He's our Father. I always used to tell my kids when they were little and growing up, just be honest with me, and I'll work with you. You won't be in near as much trouble if you'll be honest. You know, don't come and lie to me. I don't like being lied to. If you done something that you knew was wrong and you're busted, just admit it. Just say, yeah, Dad, I did it. And you won't be in near as much trouble. You're going to be in trouble, but you won't be in near as much. And we get the mindset sometimes in the church as Christians. I'll do this myself. I'll take care of it. God doesn't have time to mess with this little stuff. Peter said, cast all your cares on Him because He cares. When you walk the tallest, especially Christian man's, when you're on your knees and when you're saying, God, I can't do this on my own. I don't know how to do this. If You don't lead me, I'm in the dark. The prophet Isaiah spoke about this darkness under the law. He said, we grope like blind men along the wall. That was Isaiah saying, God, at our best, at our most enlightened time in our history as Israel, Your people, we grope along the wall like blind men. We can't even tell where we're going. And that's the sad state that we're in when we step out of the light of Christ. You cannot assume this, as I said. You come to Christ or you're in the dark. Any religion, any professed faith that denies who the Jesus of the Bible is darkness. And I can save you a lot of trouble. You don't have to ponder and scratch your head and ask, is it darkness? I remember one time two Mormon gentlemen came to my house and they were sharing their faith and their testimony. We believe in Jesus. We believe the Bible. We believe the Book of Mormon. We believe this. We believe that. And I said, well, I'm a Christian. And they said, well, praise the Lord that we're brothers. And I said, no, we're not. I said, your prophet was a false prophet. My prophet was the Son of God. My prophet's God Almighty. Your prophet was a man who claimed to be a God. I said, we don't have anything in common. And one of them said, well, brother, have you ever prayed and asked God to reveal it to you? I said, yeah. And he told me, you're false prophets and I don't have to listen to you. Now, some people say, well, that's harsh. You shouldn't treat people that way. I believe in being upfront with people. In fact, I said, if you want to know God, let's sit down. I'll tell you about the real God, not the one you're chasing after. They said, well, no, it's just, you know, no sense us arguing about it. You believe what you believe, we believe what we believe. I said, all right, I'll see you at the judgment seat. I don't say that in smugness. And these people believed the Word of God. These people read the Word of God, but Jesus said, you don't understand it, or you would love me. You'd understand who I was. And He said, you're in the dark, people. The very fact that they didn't understand the crucifixion was coming, He said, you're in the dark. You think you're in the light. And Jesus said to His disciples, if the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? How deceived are you when you think you're in the light and you got it figured out and you're in the dark? But praise God, He promises us, if you'll follow me, you'll never be in the dark. I won't allow that. If you'll put your trust in me. That's kind of hard to do sometimes. We tend to want to say, I'll do it my own way. I trust my own gut feelings. After all, I've been watching out for me all my life. Well, how good's that work for you? I did it, and it didn't work very well. It said even though Jesus had done miracles to substantiate His claims, they still didn't believe. You know, we talked about last week where Jesus had fed them with 5 loaves and 2 fish, over 5,000 people, and when He began to speak to them about being the bread of life, they said, well, what miracle are you going to show us so we'll believe you? If that's your attitude, and I hear this a lot from people, you know, yeah, I've read the Bible, and I think it's kind of neat what the Bible says God did, but if God would just do this in my life, then I might become a Christian. No, you won't. If God did that in your life, you'd find another excuse. Jesus said men love their darkness. We're comfortable in the dark. When the light gets to shining in the darkness, it exposes things in the dark. We rather not think we're there, and then you have to deal with it. Isaiah 53:1, this is what John's quoting. Isaiah said, "Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Isaiah was given this commission by God to preach, and God said, "I want you to go talk to these people, and they're not going to pay any attention to you. None of them." Imagine being a minister with that call. I want you to preach your heart out, but nobody's going to listen. And Isaiah said, "Lord, how long do I got to do that?" He said, "Till the city is destroyed." In Isaiah 6:10, this is the famous passage where Isaiah is caught into the throne room of heaven. And the scholars believe this is what John refers to when he says Isaiah saw Jesus' glory. He saw the Lord on His throne. And he cried out and said, "Woe is me, I am undone, for I am an unclean man and I live among a people of unclean lips." And it said a cherub took a coal from the altar of God and touched his mouth and said, "Your sin's been atoned for. Now you can stand in God's presence without fear." And God said, "Who am I going to send? Who am I going to send?" And Isaiah did what every one of us ought to do. He raised his hand and said, "Send me. I'll go." And God said, "Make the heart of this people calloused. Make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed." You know, I've heard that preached and taught that, in essence, God said, "I'm going to harden their hearts where they can't hear." Well, if that's true, then it's not their fault, is the way I feel about that. Adam Clark does a good job explaining this in his comments on the Hebrew. Adam Clark states that because the people refused to hear the warnings of God, for 50 years Isaiah preached and the people wouldn't listen. He says that God let them have their way and their hearts became hard through the natural course of the consequences of their sins. In other words, he said, according to what the Hebrew says, God said, "Isaiah, just make them more stubborn. Make them more hard." Because he said, "You're going to go talk to them and they're going to refuse to listen to you." And God said, "That's what I'm going to allow to happen." That's sad. And that's the danger that carries over to today when Paul wrote and said, "Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't harden your heart against the Holy Spirit. Don't tell God tomorrow when God's telling you today, I want you to do it." Don't say, "Well, tomorrow. When I have a more convenient time, I'll come forward and accept Christ." You may not get that time. And the danger of that is the more you harden yourself against the Holy Spirit, the less likely you are to listen to Him. You'll just wave it off as, "Well, you know, that's just that preacher said that and it kind of bugged me, but I'm over it now." And there will come a time, I believe this with all my heart, when the Holy Spirit will say, "Fine, I will give you exactly what you're asking for, your way. But you get all the consequences." And Adam Clark said this is what God was saying to Isaiah. Not that I'm going to harden their hearts. He's saying their hearts are going to become hardened because they're going to refuse to listen to you. So by the time Jesus came, God's judgment was, you won't even recognize Him. Jesus knew that, but He's still pleading with these people. You remember Jesus said, "It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from Him comes to Me." That's pretty cut and dry. Jesus was talking to the people and He said, "Everybody that's learned from God will come to Me." Well, what does that mean? You all got a Bible. You're all reading the Bible. You all claim to believe the Bible. If you really are learning from God, if you really are understanding the Word, you'll come to Me because the Word talks about Me. And that's exactly what happened in His day and in this day. A lot of people believe in Jesus. A lot of people believe in Jesus. In fact, at this time it says many of the leaders believed in Him, and not just believed, they would not confess their faith. This isn't just a head belief that, yeah, we're kind of thinking you might be the one. They really believed in their hearts, this has got to be the one. But it said they wouldn't confess him. Because the Pharisees had said, if you confess this guy as the Christ, you lose your position in the synagogue. You lose your leadership position. You are ostracized. Then what are you going to do? We know that Joseph of Arimathea was a disciple of Jesus, but the Bible said secretly for fear of the Jews. And Nicodemus, those were two Pharisees who went and got Jesus' body and took it off the cross and wrapped it up and buried it in the tomb. Secretly. And these people, Jesus, you know, last week we talked about Jesus knew who didn't believe. I believe the implications are, well, this passage, Jesus knew exactly who believed in him. And this is his plea to those ones who are believing, but they're right on the edge. Man, I believe you're who you say you are, but if I open my mouth, I'll get in trouble, Jesus. And I got to live with these people. You know, I'll get kicked out of the synagogue. How can I serve God if I'm not a leader in the church anymore? And Jesus said, look, you got to come to me. You got to put that down. You got to put down your pride. You got to put down that darkened imagination that you have and understand if you're going to follow me, you got to follow me. I am the light. I am the truth. You have to come to me. F.F. Bruce says many had a full belief in him. He says that's what the Greek said. It's not a head belief. It's full. They believed with everything in them, this guy has to be the guy we've been waiting for. And you hear Jesus encouraging them. It says he cries out. The Greek says he cries aloud. Jesus actually raises his voice, and you can hear him pleading with these people saying, look, if you believe in me, you're believing in God. Not just me. He's the one that sent me. He's trying to encourage them. You people are following God. Now follow me. Because me and him are the same. He's trying to get them to make a decision that's going to change their lives forever. If they will make the decision. Jesus said, if you believe in him who sent me, in me you'll believe in the one who sent me. When you see me, you've seen the one that sent me. That's hard. Whoa, wait a minute. Nobody's ever seen the face of God. Any Bible-believing Jew could say, no, nobody's ever seen God's face. Moses asked to see his glory, and God said, I'll show you my back, but you can't look at my face because you can't live. Isaiah saw his feet when he saw his glory on the throne, and Isaiah said, I'm undone. What would he have said if he'd looked at his feet? He'd probably just keeled over dead. But Jesus said, when you look at me, you've seen the Father. Well, now, who has seen the Father? John wrote in the Gospel, no one has seen God, but God the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known to us. He said he came from the very heart of God. As that little girl said, her Sunday school teacher said, who is Jesus? She said, Jesus put a face on God. God became a man so we could look at his face. And Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen my Father. So see, that's how Jesus could claim, I'm not just a way to get to God, I'm the only way to get to God, because I'm God. I'm the Word of God who became a man, the Son of God, and if you want to come to Him, you come through me. Otherwise, you're in the dark. You're just kicking around out there in the dark, and if you think your darkness is light, boy, you're double deceived, is what Jesus is saying. John said in 1 John, no one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. That's a tough decision to make. No one who denies the Son has the Father. I've said this to people that's come and talked to me, say they represent different churches, and John gives a litmus test. Whoever denies that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not from God. Well, I got a hold of that one day, because there's a lot of churches say Jesus Christ came in the flesh, but they said he's an angel who came in the flesh. He's a created being who came in the flesh. John in the Gospel of John said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God Himself, and the Word became flesh. That's the litmus test. Anyone that comes to you bringing you the Gospel, I don't care if they call it the Gospel of Jesus Christ, and does not confess that God Himself came in the flesh, that is not from God. It's darkness. And John said they don't even have God. It's sad. These Christian cults call themselves children of God, And they believe in God, and they read the same Bible we're reading, and Jesus said, but you don't have Him. When you try to get to God through anything but through Jesus Christ, that's an insult to Him. And He won't hear you. Don't look for the truth within, because you don't have the truth within if you don't have the Holy Spirit. You have your opinions. You have what you might think is right and wrong. But remember, the Bible says your heart is desperately wicked above all things. By that, God says you are egocentric. You are self-centered. You're all about you. But when God sent His Son to this earth, God was all about us. He said, you can't save yourselves, but I can. Jesus said in John 8, I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe I am the one I claim to be. You will indeed die in your sins. Now that's a bold statement and it demands a verdict. I can imagine Jesus' enemies being so enraged when He said that, but so shaken to the heel. What are you going to do with that statement? Jesus didn't walk the long way around the barn. He didn't beat around the bush. He didn't pull punches. He just said, look, if you don't believe I'm the one I claim to be, doesn't matter who you claim I am, it's who I claim that I am, you're going to die in your sins. That's the foundation of these series. If you do not believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, if you do not commit your life to Him, if you've never come forward and received Him as your Savior, you are in the dark. I don't care how much you agree with the Word of God and think that it's a good thing. I don't care if you love the Ten Commandments and the Beatitudes. I don't care if you put money in the offering box back there and if you're here every time the doors are open. If you've never seen that you need a Savior, you're in the dark. And the devil loves to keep you in the dark. Jesus promised that all those who believed in Him, and let me show you what the Amplified Bible says about this, all those who trust in, all those who adhere to, all those who rely on Him, and no one else. That's what believe means. Adhere, stick to. He says, if you'll do that, then, and only then, are you going to be saved. I want to close with a passage from Hebrews. Jesus is God's final word. The writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 1, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful Word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. Jesus Christ is God's final word. There's no more sacrifice for sins. If you refuse what He did, there's nothing you can offer, nothing you can do that will purify you or cleanse you and make you holy in God's sight. It's only through Jesus Christ. Don't follow the preacher. Follow Jesus Christ. Read the Word. Pray and ask God to reveal His Word to you. But if you've never received Christ as your Savior, I want to invite you to do that before you leave here today. I'm not saying if you don't believe in Jesus. I'm saying if you can sit here this morning and say, you know, I have never one time accepted Jesus as my Savior, the one that saved me from my sins that I've done, then I'm not going to ask you to come forward this morning as we sing the song of invitation.
Shackled by a heavy burden, neath the load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since He cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole.
On the back of the bulletin is our prayer list. If you take that home, I ask you to pray over these. Don't ever underestimate prayer. That's the strength. That's what keeps us in contact with the Lord. That's how we learn His will. I don't have any written prayer requests up here with me today. So is there any prayer requests that need to be announced? Yes. Yeah, Roy's dad has lung cancer, and his mom's just been diagnosed with stage 4 brain cancer. And Cheryl sent me a text and said the prognosis isn't good for the mom. So they're asking for prayer. Any others? All right. Remember to keep praying for the church. Pray for each other. Lift each other up in prayer. Lift the leadership up. I'm asking that you read over these questionnaires and surveys, give honest answers, sign them. You know, if you got a problem, it's kind of hard for us to talk to you if we don't know who's got the problem. But if you prefer not to, you don't have to, but please come to the congregational meeting. That'll be Sunday right after church. There'll be no evening service that night, and we're just going to sit down and discuss your ideas, see what we can come together on. Brother Randall, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Dear God, I'd like to thank You for Your word that's gone out today. I ask You help us apply it to our hearts and to our lives, dear God. I ask You to uplift this this congregation, dear God. Please may we be lights to this world as we go out into the world, as we go to work. Dear God, I thank You for, again, I thank You for all Your blessings. I ask You to give us traveling mercies, home from here and then back tonight, dear God. I thank You for so much for the ways You've touched our lives, dear God. Just please may we be able to show everybody Your love and grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King.